That Eric Dane died.
I know, that's sad. Breaks my heart.
I'm really upset about it.
Patty said, somebody on Grey's Anatomy died. I was like, yeah. And she goes, I don't know who it was. I said, it was Dr. McSteamy.
I need a drink.
Mark Sloan.
It's right underneath you.
It was McDreamy.
Saw that.
No, it was actually McSteamy.
McSteamy.
The other guy's like Patrick some shit.
Dempsey. Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
He's still alive, though. But someone at work told me that they die in threes. Big celebrity stars like that die in threes.
That's like an old wives' tale for everything, pretty much.
So
my mom used to say that stuff.
Yeah, it was the produce manager who told me that.
Well, I'm going to cut most of that and keep it in.
Okay.
Cut most of that and keep it in. What does that
mean? Cut most of that, but keep what I can where we're not banging on shit.
She doesn't want to hear all the ruffling, you know, the crunching,
the smacking, the mouth noises,
the farts.
Brought to you by the GGP kitchen.
Speaking of kitchen, you want to tell everybody what you're chewing on?
I was chewing.
Oh.
On a sourdough pretzel.
Homemade.
Snoop dough.
Snoop Doggy Doe. Mm-hmm. I've started my sourdough journey. So I had discard from my starter. And so I made homemade pretzels.
I'm glad they call it discard and not something else.
Oh. What?
Child. Anyways.
Child, baby, child. Well, welcome back to Guilty and the Ghostly. It's been a while. I guess it was Torso Killer last time you were on.
It's been a bit. I have been over since then. I just haven't been able to keep my eyes open.
Yeah, she comes over, eats my food, hangs out for about 15 minutes and says, I'm going to take a nap. Wake me up at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who doesn't wake up at 9:30? You try and you try and you try, but...
Because you don't do it right. You're like, Tori... Okay, I guess she just wants to sleep.
Because mm-hmm. like, normally by then, I want to go to sleep.
So you're just like, Tori.
Yeah.
Yep, she's out.
Do like a drive-by.
Tori.
Nope, she's asleep, going to bed. Sorry, guys.
I believe it, too, because there's no way that you'd be like actually waking me up. I don't remember.
Oh, it happens.
Yeah, we do try.
Or I'm just in REM sleep, you know.
And at that point, like I said, you might need it.
We're going to have to keep a cold glass of water or something in the fridge just for those days.
Ooh, a water gun.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that
please no. Please no. Actually, that'd be not good.
I think that'd wake her up.
Mm-hmm.
She's a single...
Either that or traumatize her.
One of the two.
No, I'd pretty much be mad.
We'd have to exercise the demons. Somebody is now working two jobs.
Yes.
So, this episode, we're doing things a little bit different. Somebody was working a lot, me, and I didn't have a whole lot of time to research. And if I did have time, I didn't really feel like it.
Yeah.
She decided to take a break.
I just needed a minute. But that doesn't mean we can't do an episode. So what I did is I went online and pulled a few spooky stories that were kind of creepy. It was funny. You went to sleep and I was laying next to you in bed looking at this stuff, and I was starting to get kind of creeped out, and he was watching a scary movie when he fell asleep. So every once in a while, a big loud sound would happen and I would like jump. But I got a couple of stories, and I think Josh is going to tell his first story.
That's not technically my first.
Oh, you did Bigfoot.
I did Bigfoot.
That's true. Yep. So I guess we've all done at least one then.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, exactly one for me.
And we're on episode 45.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you guys, yeah, three total that I haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's about time. I've been waiting.
This is my second one.
If you want me to do some stories, you know, just shout me out.
Tori, I want you to do story.
Well, I guess I'll get to researching then.
Okay, girl. And was that it? I think that's all the business we got. I don't know. We don't really have any business. Like I said, I kind of took the week off.
Mm-hmm.
I just needed a minute.
Just to refresh, you know?
Yeah. So, I guess. Do we save? So, I have a funny story for Tori.
I've been waiting, like, most of the day to hear this story. When she picked me up from work, she was like, I have a funny story to tell you, but I'm going to tell it on the podcast.
Should we do it before or after?
Go for it.
So somebody.
First of all, if you noticed, my pants are ripped.
Okay. Well, notice that. So somebody is on his skinny queen journey, and I just want to give you props for that.
Thank you.
Down to, I don't know if you want me to tell or not.
229 pounds.
Yeah.
Period.
So.
When I started my journey, I was 311.
Yeah. So he's done good. Very good.
Love to see it.
So we've been at the ballpark, and Josh would like wrestle around with Jackson. Well, today, Jackson took his bike to the ballpark. Josh decided, I'm 46 years old.
46?
45 years old.
What?
44? How old are you?
I'm 41.
Just kidding. 41.
How old are you, Audrey?
I don't remember.
Wow, how old are you now?
Look, listen. I don't know what to tell you.
I know what to tell you.
Sorry.
I'm offended.
Well, I said you were skinny.
And old.
I was just preparing you for when you do turn that old.
Mm. Hey, let's not say that old word, you know? Maybe we have some followers that are even older than that.
So anyways,
I'm well on my way to become a silver fox, okay?
You're working on it.
No.
You're working on it. You've got,
you see,
got
some white hairs
glistening. Well, anyways, somebody's been on his skinny queen journey, and he's feeling froggy. So he's like, you know what sounds like a great idea? Let me get on my son's bicycle. At first, he was doing really good. I was like, look at him. He still got it. He's like riding the little bicycle. And he goes, he goes to turn. And it wobbles a little bit. And I was like, oh. But he saves it. He saves it.
Period. Okay.
So then he starts riding the bike towards me and a couple of my softball moms that I just sit there and hang out with. And he's going, and he's making eye contact with us the whole way. He's making eye contact with us, full on staring into our souls. So he's feeling like Billy Badass. And he decides to pop a wheelie, and he rides it for a minute. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at him. And about that time, as he's staring into our souls, he comes down and goes over the handlebars. But to make it worse, it's turf. And not only is it turf, it's going downhill. So he belly slides down the hill with the bike.
Mm-hmm. It hurt, guys.
In front of the softball mom.
Not only did that happen, but the reason, I say the reason, I'm old, okay? I made mistakes. Mistakes were made, okay? That's all that needs to be said. But it was slick, and I didn't account for that.
Right.
Helped his momentum as he's going down there.
It was slick. So
as soon as I came down, the front wheel came out from underneath the bike.
But to make it worse, when that wheel came down and he was flying over the handlebars, it was in slow motion. It was the slowest fall I've ever seen in my life. So yeah, that was our exciting day at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. He's got battle wounds.
Yeah, they're rough.
I felt so bad, but it was so
in your
fun.
Arms, just like me?
No.
It's like all up his thigh. I took a picture. I'll post it now, but it's like all the way up his thigh.
Yeah. You can pause it. You can delete this.
Oh my God.
From there to here and towards the back too.
Yikes. On both legs, I'm guessing.
Well, this one's in the thigh. This one's all down my fucking shin. Fucking hurts.
What did you do after?
I just shook it off. What else was I going to do? Right?
I would have. I'd still be out there crying.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
It's like, well, it's not the first time I busted my head.
How far away were you?
Maybe 25 feet?
Yeah, just me and just past that wall.
It's a little further than that.
A little bit, but still,
like, all the way back there to there?
Like, the length of the room.
Yeah. As he's staring into her souls flying over the handlebars in slow motion. So there's your funny story that I couldn't wait to tell you.
Did you keep the
bike? Oh, no. Oh, no. Because not only did he wreck the bike, he broke the brake on the handlebar.
The brake is what did that to my thigh.
Oh, my God.
Like the plastic sheared off and fucking stabbed into my pants and scraped down my leg. So I'm lucky. That I made out of steel.
Oh, okay. So shout out.
There's some truth behind that jump.
So shout out to Aaron and Chelsea.
Yeah.
Who got to experience the great fall.
Are you calling me a giant?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I just said you were on your skinny queen journey.
You call me fat?
Can't stand you.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. So now that I gave you a good laugh, you ready to be scared?
At my expense.
Maybe you should have waited till after.
Nope. And then we have to walk out to the dark car and take you home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it.
So what do you want to do first?
Because
mine's kind of a darkish history kind of thing.
Dark history. Well, we can. So what started this, or what we just, why we decided to go ahead and kind of take the week off, or why I was able to, my gosh, I had asked for some personal stories and I got two that I wanted to share. So I guess I could share the personal stories that were sent to us. Then we can read yours and see how long it is at that point. And then if we have time, then I'll read the couple that I found online.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm glad we're figuring this out right now on air.
That's what we do, girls.
That is what we do.
Fly by the seat of our pants. Or however the old people say it.
You should know. You're 46.
I know. Hey.
Flying by the thread on pants.
I don't know what I was thinking. I guess 2026, and that's how my birthday is. It ends in the whatever year. Or that's how my age is. It ends on the year.
Audrey, you were not born in 2026.
No, but I turned 36 this year.
In 2026?
Yeah.
So you'll be 46 in 2036?
No.
No, she'll be 27.
Yeah, I'll be 27.
I feel like Abby Lee Miller right now. Like that reaction photo.
Once
I'm going to have to send it to you so you can keep it in here.
You're actually not supposed to, once you hit 35, you're supposed to turn the age and start going a year younger every time.
Is that how that works?
I guess.
I don't know. Age has never really bothered me, so.
Yeah.
Don't you lie, boy.
It's bothered me. It scares me to get old.
Speaking of old. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Speaking of old, I'm getting old.
Speaking of old, we're old. You guys ready for a spooky story?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this one.
Yes, sir.
This one came from Anita Skurlock. So do you remember our friends, Lauren and Jordan and John Stewart? You were really young. Lauren had the really long red hair.
Possibly.
Maybe. Well, this is their mom.
She probably would have played with Caitlin or...
She was even... No, she was too young.
That's true. She was real, real little.
Yeah. She probably doesn't remember. Anyways, it's our friends.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
Yeah. It's our old friend's mom.
It's our old friend's mom's. This is what she sent.
All right. And what is her name?
Anita. All right. So she sent me a message and it says, I don't know how much you still talk to Lauren, but this is something I've never really been able to shake. By June of 2026, I'll have been living at my mother's house for 7 years. She's in the late stages of Alzheimer's. She's in the late stages of what is it? Alzheimer? That's right. Okay. Try again.
Do it again.
Try again. One more time.
She sounds like she's trying to, like...
Try again.
It's not a different language.
Oh.
Okay. Don't be scared of it. Say.
I'm scared. Okay. She was in the late stages of Alzheimer's.
Oh, man, you made it.
I know. When I first moved in, my husband was still living at our place in Lindale. So it was just me and my mom here. There's no guest bedroom, so I slept with her in her room. I was in that half awake, half asleep space when I suddenly realized I wasn't alone. There were two presents standing beside the bed. I couldn't see faces clearly, but I knew they were there. My first instinct was to jump and get out of the room, except I couldn't move, not a muscle. They were talking to each other, and one of them wanted to end my life. Just like that, no emotion, and the other said calmly, it's not her time. That's when I started praying. I rebuked them out loud, called on God, and said every prayer I could force out of my mouth. And just as suddenly as they were there, they were gone. I got up, I walked out of the room, and I never slept in there again. Hell no, I ain't sleeping in there again.
That's creepy. Mm-hmm. Well, and then, like, the not moving.
Not being able to move, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's creepy. So she continues.
Oh, it goes on?
It goes on.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
As my mother's Alzheimer's progressed, things got strange. Sometimes she acts like she's possessed, fighting me, cussing me out, which I know can happen with the disease, but this feels different. A friend and I decided to put a cross in her room. Every morning, it was somewhere else. She doesn't mess with anything in that room except for the cross. She hides it every single time. So we tried crystals. Same thing. They'd wake up the next morning and they're hidden. She started roaming the house at night, talking about the two little girls, or sometimes the two children. Always two, and we pray over the house regularly. I've saged it, we have scriptures on the walls, and still, that cross is almost always turned on its side or tucked away somewhere, like someone doesn't want it seen. Recently, she had a bad fall. and tore most of the skin off of her hand. She swears she was fighting with two men who threw her down and hurt her arm. She's adamant about it. There is so much more, so many little things that pile up until you can't explain them away. We had Will and Candace stay the night once. Do you remember Will and Candace? And Will woke up around 2 a.m. and couldn't breathe, just sheer panic. After I told them some of what was being experienced in the house, they said they'd never stay here again. I've begged them to come back when they're in town, and they refuse.
Wow.
Jordan, Johnny, and I have all seen people at the end of the hallway near my mother's bedroom. My stepfather collapsed in that room years ago, and he died there technically. EMS revived him, but he only lived a few more days on life support, and there's a lot of trauma in this house. Nightmares come in waves. Whoever is in this house will have them on the same night. The house was built in 1959, my parents bought it in 1970, and my father died in 1971 from a massive heart attack. There was one owner before us, her name was Carol. She did have 3 children, but I have not kept up with them. I've tried everything to cleanse this place, and still, whatever is here refuses to leave.
Man.
And I don't think you... Did you go to Meemaw's house? I can't remember if you did. Uh-huh.
Yes, once.
I thought so. And I've been there a couple of times. And
who's?
That woman, that house. Oh, okay. Yeah, Anita's mom's house. We went there. I went there with Lauren a couple of times. And then I think you and I went there with Lauren. I don't remember what it was for. We may have just been going to see her grandma. No,
it was some kind of celebratory thing.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving or something.
Okay. Was anything weird?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
I didn't think so either. Just a normal brick house.
Yeah.
I never got a weird vibe.
So strange. Yeah. And they cleansed it and nothing has helped.
Yeah.
It almost feels like maybe it could be a spirit that doesn't want to, like, go into the light, you know? That doesn't want to let go of someone.
Well, and that's kind of why she gave me a little bit of the history of the house, because I was asking her, like, do you know if anything happened there?
Yeah.
And that's when she told me about her stepdad and then, you know, all the things that are happening. I just think it's kind of weird that there's 2 children that she keeps seeing and 2 men.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of strange to me. Like,
yeah, but like we were talking about earlier before we started recording, it might have been our conversation.
Could have been.
It was. So Tori and I started talking before the podcast. Sorry. We had a good conversation.
But he didn't tell me about the story. I didn't even know about
it. Yeah, I kept that secret.
Yeah.
But her and I were talking, and we thought that even though the house might not have been there before that, before the house was built, there's hundreds of years of history on that particular piece of land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there could be other things that happened there at other periods of time prior to that house being built.
And just attached to the land.
It could have been attached to the land.
Honey, it's the land.
Or objects.
Yeah.
I mean, the Annabelle doll.
Yeah.
They could have brought something into the... Not, you know.
Yeah, not even knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like... Yeah.
Just accidentally.
Or like there was this story about a dresser or something like that on the This Is Why We Drink podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be. So that was creepy, and it was just kind of cool that we've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first one. Are you scared?
No, I was just looking at your flower.
Oh, thought you heard something. So that was the first one, and I'm going to have to find the other one. Give me like 2 seconds.
Pause for dramatic effect.
Kill both of you. Where did it go? Maybe it'll be easier.
Welcome to the Guilty and the Ghostly podcast.
Oh, that was business that we had to take care of.
What?
Way to go.
Wow.
If you don't stop, I'm going to throw the pillow at your face. Well, while I'm looking for this, why don't you tell them?
Tell them what? It's your news. I guess it's not. It's our news.
It's our news.
So anyway, guys, as you guys know, Corky from Remember That Podcast and the Paranormal War Room, he sent us an audio clip for our intro. And Audrey spent quite a bit of time editing it, and we created a new intro for you.
Yeah. Really? It's that one that we sent you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I hope you guys like it.
Yes.
A little bit different. Kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
It goes with video really well.
Yeah. And thank you, Corky.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah, Corky.
Thank you.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, that got me plenty of time to find the story. So this one's a really short one.
Well, just wanted to add in there.
Add it, girl.
I was one of the first few people to see the video. Yep. Audrey did send it to me first.
I was the first.
Okay, well, second.
And then Corky.
Yeah, he got to see it pretty quick.
Yeah.
And she was excited the whole time she was putting it together. It was hilarious.
Just time me out. That's cool.
I didn't really see it at the first one, but I can understand, like, we're following you with the light now when you pointed it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess we've never really talked about it, so.
Yeah, we should probably.
Yeah, since we said we were chit-chatting this episode. So yeah. with the intro video, I mean, I obviously used AI, but I had to type in certain things, and I kind of wanted it to look like I'm kind of leading them with the light, so it shows me with the light, and I think it's Seth first, and he's kind of in a library looking at a book, and then he walks away, and then it's me and Tori, and I have that lantern again, and it shows me walking away with the lantern, and then it shows Josh sitting at a table with a book, and you can see the lantern in the background, and he turns and follows it, and then you just see me with the lantern walking away.
So. You see me-ish.
Ish. Yeah. It's like I said, it's all AI, but it took a long time to
actually correct it.
Get the scripts.
The first Seth was bad.
Yeah, the first several were bad. But I just kept on and making sure that the writing prompts, I guess, were a certain way so that I could kind of look, get that story and make it look like I wanted it.
And of course, I don't look like myself anymore because I dyed my hair, but you know.
I cut my bangs today. I told you I was growing them out. Whoops. Yeah, I went to the bathroom and cut them while Josh was making lunch. I came out and was like, I couldn't handle it anymore. Cut my bangs again.
I was disappointed.
Sorry. They're driving me nuts. And they're in that awkward stage where they're not long enough to, like, do anything. And so I hated the way my hair looked.
I get it.
So, yeah, with your beard.
It's kind of like when I first started growing the beard, you know?
Yeah.
There's a stage where it just gets annoying.
That's how the bangs were.
Mm-hmm.
Bangs weren't banging, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ready for spooky story number dos?
Yes.
See?
3 years ago, we had just... Oh, I guess I should say who this is from.
Girl, jumping the gun.
Oopsies.
Obviously, you haven't had your dubby.
I've not had dubby, and I've been cleaning all weekend.
I wish someone would buy me a dubby.
There's some in the kitchen. Yep, Dubby. So this story is from J.C. Prejean. Used to be Turner.
Is there supposed to be an emphasis on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
What emphasis? What are you talking about?
He said Prejean.
Yeah, that's...
So that's how you say it?
Yeah.
Well, I always thought it was Prejean.
He's Cajun. Okay. Pretty sure it's Prejean. I could be wrong. J.C., let me know.
I could be wrong, too.
J.C.?
J.C. Turner. I hung out with her a lot, and especially when Mom and y'all lived, I don't want to,
Red Oak.
Yeah, Red Oak, when y'all lived on Red Oak, and she lived right down the road from us, so we were right there together, doing hood rat shit with my hood rat friends.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun at that house.
Yeah, we did.
A lot of fun.
Yep.
The one... The double wide?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With your Tinkerbell bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. JC gave us this one. So, shout out to JC.
That's when I had the best of both worlds.
Oh, my gosh. I remember Dad getting so mad that you were watching Hannah Montana. He would get so mad. He's like, do you see how she dresses? And
I freaking loved Hannah Montana, too.
Yeah. That's all we listen to, ever. I was going to tell him your nickname, but I won't do that to you.
No, we're not going to do that.
That's not where I was going with it.
Where are we?
Toto.
Well, that's one of them.
No, the one she's thinking. The other one. Only close people get to know that.
Okay. It's a secret.
If you know, you know.
You know, you know. If not, you won't know.
But yeah. So, JC sent us this one. It says, 3 years ago, we had just started moving into our new property out in Grand Saline. My family of five was living in a camper while we cleared the land, planning to build a new home. My husband and I were sitting out in the truck listening to music, and I just got this unexpected weight on my chest, like I was being crushed and a flicker of a tree falling on me. It flashed in my mind, and it was the weirdest experience I have had, and I couldn't help but freak out. A week later, we go over to our neighbor's house to meet them and chat, and they tell me about how their 13-year-old cousin was crushed to death by a tree over there, where we had started clearing the land back in the 70s. They didn't know anything about what I experienced the week prior. Once I shared what happened, we all sat in silence for a couple of minutes. They knew nothing of my experience, and I knew nothing of their cousin's death. Strange situation.
That's crazy.
That is very weird.
So, I mean, was he like, be careful? Was it like a warning to her? Since he got crushed, and then now they're trying to clear that land, and was he trying to warn her, like, be careful?
Maybe.
Or did she just feel and kind of see what happened?
That's possible, I guess.
In a certain way, I feel I would lean more towards the second option, like, she had a vision, so she was the one who
was, like, experiencing mm-hmm. it from their point yeah. of view.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Mm. Wild. Okay, goosebumps. Or I'm cold, one of the two. Maybe both. So, yeah, those are our first personal stories that they sent in.
Yeah, well, those are cool. Really good ones.
Those were good ones. So, if you guys have any more.
No, that wasn't our first. Our first one was the Bigfoot one.
Oh, yeah. We got a couple of sent in for Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. It all starts merging together. But this is, yeah, this is kind of like personal, just crazy personal accounts. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want. We want the different stories. We want, you know, I stayed up in the middle of the night and was afraid somebody was going to grab my feet. And all of a sudden I felt fingers around my ankle.
And even if it's not like super extreme, like, you know, anything.
The door slamming.
Yeah.
Yes, but we really want the extreme.
Yeah, we really want the scary ones. Tori's like, no, please.
The scarier, the better.
Tori's like, it doesn't have to be that scary. It's okay.
Well, should I share my egg story as a filler?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Give us your egg story, girl.
Okay. So, guys, I was making fried egg, right? And
boiled eggs, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Boiled. And I'm putting the eggs in the water. Well, I didn't fill the pan up enough. So when I put the egg in the water, it like fell and it cracked on the bottom of the pan. I'm like, crap. And I could clearly tell it's cracked. And my roommate was standing next to me and he was like, yeah, it's cracked. You ruined it. And I was like, crap. Okay. So I put it back in the egg carton and I know exactly where I put it at because like there's like a side that had eggs and the side that didn't have eggs. And I put it in the side that didn't have eggs. Okay. And I go to throw it away, and it's not cracked anymore. It's, like, completely solid. But I saw the crack in it. Like, it was leaking into the pot. I had to change the water. But the egg that I grabbed wasn't cracked at all. Maybe glitch in the matrix?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I think so.
I think so, too.
I think, yeah. Totally. I would think for that situation, I would think more glitch in the matrix than ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. But oh, even glitch in the matrix, like those are really cool too.
Yes.
Have you seen that one of like that cheerleader running and then they just vanish?
I've seen a lot of videos like that. I get stuck on those and then I creep myself on like, okay, cool.
Yeah, but there's so much AI stuff. It's well, hard to believe before half of the stuff you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even before we had ways to fake video. So there's a lot of things that you see that just seem completely unreal. Kind of is, in most cases.
Like bunnies jumping on a trampoline. Who would watch that and believe it?
But or the pink shark.
It's weird being in this day and age and thinking about how in the 90s and the Terminator movie made AI seem like it was going to kill everybody.
Yeah. I wonder how that's affected like paranormal research teams and trying to, if they do catch something, but like, no, this is real. It was actually captured. It's not AI. I wonder how that affects them on getting their stuff out.
Badly.
You would think.
Because then it's all conspiracy.
That would suck.
Yeah, it would.
The government made the word conspiracy. Let that sink in.
Let's go get our tin.
They made the word conspiracy theory.
We're going to start moving things.
Oh, Lord. I feel like we're in the Twilight Zone. Okay. So, yeah, send us your personal stories. True crime, ghost, glitch in the matrix, Bigfoot.
Phenomenon.
Anything.
Vision.
Anything
weird. Deja vu.
Yeah. Near-death experiences.
Heavy feeling.
Bumps in the night.
Spot.
I think that covers it, guys.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So all send them to us. So now we have...
Joshua.
Now it's time for a little taste of history.
Dark history? I think that's what you said? Mm. Kinda?
Presumably.
Okay. Go for it, my dude.
All right. So, this story is about a group of indigenous people. Basically started a few hundred years ago. There was a young indigenous warrior who was on his way to their village.
Hang on. I don't mean to interrupt you. When I was trying to read it earlier, I didn't realize that's what you were writing. I thought you said a young and dangerous warrior, because I could not read your handwriting.
Wow.
My bad, guys.
Not nice. So basically, the village was located in a very heavily wooded, hilly countryside in Richland County, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Isn't that cheese?
And he was a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation.
Chunk.
It's Ho-Chunk.
Ho-Chunk. Have you guys seen Chunk the prairie dog?
Huh?
Have you guys seen the prairie dog named Chunk? Oh my gosh, he is so cute.
But he's talking about prairie dogs.
Vicious. Sorry, ADHD. Go ahead.
Anyway, it's located in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. He can't read his writing.
I write like crap, guys. So anyway, as the young man was traveling back to town after being out doing some scouting and stuff like that, he received word that he was needed by the chief. He already kind of had a suspicion on why, because when he'd walked up, he'd noticed that there were several other warriors from the town there.
Like his tribe?
Yeah, from his tribe. So there, what had happened was about 2 or 3 days prior to that, two young, very young hunters went out to the woods to go hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they hadn't came back. And for several days, the parents had been going to the chief telling him, hey, you know, we're worried. We don't know if they're okay. They're still pretty young. So finally, the chief's like, you know, all right, we can send somebody out. It's kind of suspicious. But, you know, he also considered the fact that most of the time when people go hunting, they don't come back for several days. So he sends out a search party. Well, the search party leaves and they travel down this path that most all the hunters use, you know, just like a game trail, basically. They're traveling down the game trail and they go for several miles. And they're following the prints of the boys this whole time. Didn't take long to find the prints. They're walking down. And finally, they get to this area after walking most of the day. That's this really steep ravine. And they notice that the boys' tracks lead down into that ravine. So they crawl down. And as they get down in there, they notice that
it just opens up and there's a cave a little bit further, and that's where the boys' tracks lead into. So they're...
How old are they? How old? I mean, young boys?
They're pretty young. I don't know. It just said young. You know, this is a story that's been passed down, so
gotcha.
It's kind of hard to say. And it could just be a story. But anyway, this...
It's true. All of it's true.
The leader of this group, we're going to call him George.
So, why not Derek?
Well, George sounded good, so I wrote down George.
Oh, okay. George.
Are y'all throwing out Grey's Anatomy character names?
I don't know. It just felt
George,
right, okay?
Derek.
Felt right.
Mark.
R.I.P.
Arizona.
So anyway.
George.
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 Was the leader of the group. George. And he goes ahead and he says, all right, let's go check this cave out. So they go up to the cave and they notice that it's eerily quiet around the cave. And this group of 10 are standing around talking about it. And they come up with a plan. And the plan is for two of them to go into the cave just to kind of scout things out, see, you know, if they see anything.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in there and they walk in, and not too long after they walk in, they can't see him anymore. They can still hear him. So they're listening. And then all of a sudden, everything goes quiet. They can't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
They wait, and they wait. Several minutes go by. And then all of a sudden, they hear what sounds like a wailing. Very distant, deep in the cave. Continues to get louder. And now it seems like it's more than one voice. It gets louder. And suddenly... George realizes that it's this death chant that they have. If they get into a situation where they feel like they're going to die, they start chanting this death chant.
Like the person that's dying?
Yeah.
Why are you expecting me to do something if I'm dying? Just let me die.
Don't ask me. This is a cultural thing, Audrey.
Oh, okay.
So he hears it. And about the same time, the other guys hear it, and everybody's freaking out. Well, suddenly, the other 6 of the 10 run into the cave, and they're going after whatever it was. And as soon as he can't see him no more, suddenly it gets quiet again.
That's probably when it's the scariest, when it's just quiet.
Yeah, the quiet is always the scariest part. But they don't hear anything for a while again. So now there's just 2 of them standing outside.
Mm-hmm.
The leader and one of his other guys. And they're standing there and waiting and waiting. And the leader's kind of thinking to himself, you know, this doesn't feel right. And then he starts hearing the chanting again.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, even louder.
You kind of have a creepy, raspy voice.
Well, I'm trying. Is it working?
Okay. It's working. All right.
It's my storytelling voice.
Okay, can do.
So anyway, they're hearing this noise, and he all of a sudden he starts thinking, he's like, you know, I've got this feeling that I need to go in there to help these guys, but at the same time, I know that if I go in there, I'm gonna die. So him and the other guy decide they need to go back to the village. So they run to the village as fast as they can.
And they don't know where the other, like, 10 people are.
There were 10 total, the eight people who disappeared, plus the 2 boys.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you said that. Okay.
Follow along.
I'm trying.
So anyway, the 8 of those people have disappeared now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 2 are running back to camp. Well, they get to camp and they tell the chief what happened. And the chief was like, oh, no, you know, that's crazy. Well, let's...
It's crazy, man. Crazy.
That's me if I was the chief.
It's crazy, man.
It's crazy, bro.
It sucks.
But anyway, mind you, this is a real story, guys.
Okay.
Supposedly. And so they get back. The chief's like, all right, well, let's... gather everybody in the morning, and we'll go back and we'll check it out when there's more daylight.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody gets up, they leave, and they leave with about 100 people. So with those 100 people, they walk and they finally get to where they're going. And the chief comes up with a plan where everybody just basically daisy chains themselves together, you know, hold each other's hand and walk in one by one.
Mm-hmm.
So the lead guy of the original party volunteers to be the first one. And the guy that went with him, the second.
Brave.
Yeah, well, it was their people.
Yeah.
It's the honorable thing to do.
They probably felt obligated to, because they let them go in the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I already had my chance and I didn't disappear. That's a you problem.
It's part of the code of honor, Audrey.
Nope.
So anyway, they start making their way in, and the lead guy starts noticing that as soon as he gets in a little ways, the cave veers off to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And then it veers back off to the right after they've gone some ways. And as soon as it veers off the other direction, he can't see anything anymore. Because of those angles, it keeps the light from going very far into the cave.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't have even thought about that.
So at this point, he can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So now he's feeling his way along the walls.
They didn't have torches?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure they did, but...
Or fire?
You probably couldn't see very far.
Yeah.
Is something going to grab him?
Just keep listening.
Okay.
So he's feeling along and he's feeling along, and then suddenly he hears it again.
The chanting.
And then all of a sudden it just gets really loud and really loud and really loud. And he loses his grip on the guy behind him. So now he's alone in the dark with this noise.
Told you, you shouldn't have went in there.
And this is George.
This is George, the lead guy. So at this point, everybody else is hearing this too. So now, from the chief's perspective, he's sitting outside and people are piling out of this cave as fast as they can, screaming and hollering. And as soon as everybody stops coming out, he starts checking on people and counting to see how many are still there. And several people are missing. So at one point, several people let go. So now there's all these people in there. So they decide to wait. So they wait and wait and wait, and nobody ever comes out. So months go by. Nobody ever comes back. They never see anybody. And finally, several months later, the chief declares that it's an evil place and that there's an evil spirit there that's trying to kill people.
Mm-hmm. Like lure them in.
So they essentially board it up by stacking it full of rocks and dirt and debris and stuff. Well, after they do that, you know, they go on about their lives. And several years later, in 1930.
Hang on, he's checking his notes.
Hang on, I gotta remember this dude's name. That's the only thing that matters.
O'Malley.
It's not O'Malley.
Oh.
This is a real person.
So is George O'Malley.
Okay. Okay, so in 1930, a man named Paul Seifert made a chilling discovery.
Seifert? You made me wait for the name. Seifert?
Seifert.
Paul.
That does Paul not Seifert. Help.
I gotta make sure that it's right, because this is an actual...
Paul Seifert.
Girl, you gonna get us canceled. So anyway, he made a chilling discovery. So he was an antique dealer, and being that there was a lot of activity from the indigenous people in that area, he was a very avid collector of that type of material. So he was always in the woods, always out there looking for arrowheads and whatever else he could find. So one day he's in the woods and he's traveling along and making his way around looking for stuff and sees big ravine.
Mm-hmm.
So he climbs down the ravine and he's looking down there and sees this big mound of rocks. And he's thinking to himself, man, that doesn't look natural at all. And so he starts kind of looking at it and decides he's going to dig it up, whatever it is, just to kind of check it.
That's right, these people.
Huh?
That's how you release the ghost.
Well, you know, in his defense, you know, he's probably thinking that it's like a
railroad track.
No, like a burial ground. And he could find a very good possibility of very good relics and things like that.
Have you seen a scary movie? That's how he becomes possessed.
Completely understand. The Mummy too. Same thing. So he's in his mindset, he's like, oh, I just found the treasure trove of antiques. So he starts digging and finally gets it to where he can get in and out of there. And so this is the 1930s mm-hmm. now. So he doesn't have to have a torch. He has a lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Like so he lights his lantern and he's going through the cave system. And as he gets further and further in, it gets a little shorter and a little narrower. Until finally he gets to a point where he kind of has to crawl on his belly.
Mm-hmm.
Then he notices that suddenly it opens up into this huge cavern.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. And he's looking around. He can't really see anything. And he's shining his light. And then he kind of sees some shadows in the distance. And he takes a step further. And he notices that they're bodies. And they're all lined up perfectly. And they're all kneeling on their knees and their hands in the praying position. He steps a foot a little bit further in and notices that there's a gigantic chair carved in the wall of the cave. And then immediately gets a bad feeling, turns around, and rushes out. And reports it to a local news station. And they printed an article about it.
Oh, so, they had the little paper boy on his box.
Yeah. So if you actually look for that article, it's a real thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And that was in Wisconsin?
That was in Wisconsin. And the, let's see here. The name of the...
I think it was on the first page.
No, what? I put it back here.
It's on the first page, too.
The Milwaukee Journal.
What was the name of the newspaper? Do you know the name of the tribe? Did you say that? Oh, yeah.
It was the
Ho-Chunk.
Ho-Chunk. Mm-hmm.
I'm about to look at that. That's cool. Did they ever go in there and see what it was?
I don't know.
I'll have to look up the article because that's pretty cool.
Yep.
I'll see if I can find it and I'll post it in the video so you guys can see it if I can find it.
But I thought that was a really neat...
And where'd you hear that?
I found that from Mr. Ballin, actually.
Mr. Ballin, he has some good ones.
He's got some really good ones. And that's one of the very first ones he's done differently. Normally, he's in his setting and all this other stuff. But this time, he told it at a campfire. And it was a really cool experience watching it that way.
Okay. That would be kind of fun. I don't know how the audio would be, but that would be
his audio
cool.
Was great. But he has
he's Mr. Ballin.
Way better equipment than we do.
I was going to say, Mr. Ballin. So, there you go. There's our stories.
Yep. Okay. You guys have any theories on what could have been sitting in that chair?
Yeah, what's the throne from? And they're all praying, so were they worshiping him?
That's a good question. Or maybe they weren't worshiping him because they were calling the death chant. Maybe it was an evil entity.
And they were just praying?
And they were sacrificing themselves.
To keep it? Contained?
I don't know.
Then George better get back in there if it needs souls.
Well, I'm sure he's in there with the rest of them.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
I know this is morbid, but it'd be cool to see pictures of that.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance. I just wrote this an hour ago.
I'm going to be on doing some research and looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But yeah, I thought it was a really cool story.
Yeah. Well, good job. I loved it.
Yep.
Me too.
So I guess I'll try to do this a little more often.
Yeah. Maybe we can do a few like this where it's just short stories. So you don't have to worry so much. And this was fun. I had fun just reading Creepy. And I didn't even read the other two that I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Or three. I found two or three online.
Where are we at?
It's an hour.
That's about perfect, yeah, I guess.
It's probably going to be about 40 minutes because we did a lot of goofing. Well, so what'd you guys think of the first just chit-chat?
It was fun.
Well, it was fun.
Chit-chat in the Doom Room.
We should do it again.
I think so. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was a lot more relaxed.
We'll have to wait and see how the audience...
See what they think.
See what they think about it.
We laughed for a good 15 minutes, so they'll probably turn it off. I wish we would have gotten that on video, though.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I'm sorry.
I wish we could have included Tori and I's conversation, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good one.
I don't even remember what we said now.
Maybe once a month we should just have like a... Girl talk.
Quick chat.
Let's have a poll, guys.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
Maybe once a month we can just kind of have like an easy just talk about whatever episode. And that
TGP quick chat.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Or if you have a topic that you want us to talk about, maybe too.
Yeah, just discuss about it. That, yeah. I like it. And that kind of gives me the week to get caught up on editing and research and get ahead. So that'd be perf.
And on the weeks that you need a break.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I enjoyed it. Thanks for humoring me on trying something different. I hope everybody likes it. You can go find us on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Discord. All of it is Guilty and the Ghostly.
YouTube.
We're streaming on Spotify, Apple Pod, iHeartRadio, all the things.
All of the above.
Our email is theguiltyandtheghostlypodcast@gmail.com. Send us your stories, what you want us to talk about. Comment, let us know if you like the different format of us just chit-chatting. Just chilling.
Comment some improvements if there is any.
Nah, we're perf. We don't need to improve nothing. All right, well that's all I've got. If y'all want to add...
Nope.
I still have to take somebody home, so...
Yep.
We'll end it there. So thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. I'm fixing to knock a picture off on my head with my bun. Like that time that one fell on you.
Yeah.
So until next week, stay spooky.
Carry a light.
Dun, dun, dun. Go to bed early.
All right.